That video gets me every time. So good. So good. How's healing? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I was praying about this morning and saying, oh, Lord, please let my words be your words and your spirit come upon me like flame and my tongue be on fire with words for you. And then I promptly burned my tongue on the hot coffee this morning. So very specific case study in careful what you pray for. My tongue is on fire from coffee and with the Spirit. Welcome to week 4 of our Kingdom Revolution series. It's a very exciting idea of an upside-down kingdom. Now, we started the year with the word kingdom and talking about all the things that that means. What is kingdom? Who's it for? How do we walk in it? When is it? Where is it? And this month, we started our new series further into how to walk in it, how to build the kingdom. What does that look like? Kingdom. So a couple of weeks ago, just to recap, we talked about loving Jesus the King. How do we do that? Why is that important? Of course. And last week, Spencer brought us a powerful word about loving the kingdom. Love the King, love the kingdom. And we've established that in building the kingdom, that loving God and loving others is the most important commandment. It is the bottom line, the foundation of kingdom living. And this morning, I want to declare that the kingdom is also a radical kingdom. A radical kingdom. Well, what is that, you might be asking? Well, radical, the definition means extremely different from the common or traditional, a thorough or complete change that affects the fundamental nature of something. Radical. Back in the old days, I'm going to date myself here, we used to say, oh, that's rad, dude. That's totally rad. Radical, man. I know, I'm so old. But it meant, hey, that's so cool. It's out of the ordinary. It's a little bit unexpected. That's amazing. Radical. And in our context this morning, it is more along the lines of upside down, outside of the norm. Something that is different and fundamentally changing the nature all around us. So that means the kingdom of God is different. It's different. It's fundamentally different. And it is a complete change from before to after when we enter the kingdom. Now, in the coming weeks, we're going to explore different facets and practicalities of this revolutionary kingdom and how that looks in our daily lives. But today, in the context of radical kingdom, as we start to look at that, we get to talk about how to forgive. Forgiveness is radical. Now, if you're like me, someone's face has already popped into your head. And if you're also like me, you're feeling a kind of way about it. You know, I might be needing to forgive somebody. But isn't it the case where there is always something? We walk in a broken world and we come up and exist with broken people, and there is going to be things that need to be forgiven. How do we do that? And why do we feel so, Because it's hard. It's hard. Let's just be honest. It is really hard. Because to forgive someone means to absorb the cost. I'm going to absorb the cost of somebody's actions. They're not going to pay for it. I'm going to pay for it. On some level, maybe many levels. You are going to absorb the pain of what they owe you, and that's why it's hard. You're going to pay the price for someone else's choices or sin. I'm wondering if some of you know where I'm going with this. That's what Jesus did for us, yes? He absorbed the cost for us. And that's the foundation that we must remember about forgiveness. We've received it. and we are not in a place to restrict it or hold it back from others. Now, if you'll remember, a few weeks ago, I had the privilege of talking about the extravagant kingdom, the love of the Father pursuing us, loving us, bringing us back to himself. And we talked about three parables: lost sheep, lost coins, lost sons. And where we're going to pick up today is actually right after that. If you're looking at a timeline, it's just shortly after that. Jesus is talking to a group of listeners about the parables of how the Father loves. And then a little bit later, he and his friends, his disciples, go away together, and they are together talking. And the conversation becomes a little bit more blunt, if I may be so bold. Becomes a little more blunt. And Peter comes to Jesus, and he asks the Lord about forgiveness. How many times must we endure offense? How many of you guys understand this question? Two of us. Three. There we go. Thanks, Greg. Don't we know this question all too well? We're familiar with this frustration. How many times must I forgive this same person or this same situation that keeps happening to me? We all know the huge and small ways that others can hurt or betray us. Most of us have been walking around for decades struggling with this very thing. How do I do this thing? And we've all been taken advantage of, or feel the sting of someone's carelessness or selfishness. Ugh. And at what point do we say enough? So I understand Peter here. We're going to pick it up. Matthew 18:21, it says this: "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?' And Jesus says, 'I tell you, not seven times, 77 times.'" Now, some translations will say 70 times seven, 70, whatever. The point is actually not the number. Peter is establishing what he thinks is already a ludicrous amount of forgiveness. Seven times. Should I forgive someone as much as seven times? That seems generous, if I'm being honest. And really, aren't even second chances difficult to come by? And Peter's saying, oh, seven times? Are you crazy? Are we really supposed to do that? And Jesus poses a radical statement. 77. 70 times seven, whatever the translation. And what his point is, it's not just, oh, here's a list of, and you keep track of all the offenses, and oh, this one's got 76 more times before I'm done forgiving. No, his point is that there's no point in keeping track. The amount of times we are asked and called to forgive is too large to keep a record of. It is too large. And he is saying, it's not a question of how often. It's a question of why should I forgive at all? Anybody felt that? Why? Why? And he explains to Peter, Jesus says that when you see that you must forgive, then the logical train of thought is that there is no limit. So our first point today is forgiveness must be without limit. I can just feel the air sucking out of the room right now. We're okay. We're going to do this together. Forgiveness must be without limit. That means no limit on who it's extended to, and no limit on how often. And so what does Jesus reply? He replies with another story. In verse 23, he says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. And since the man was not able to pay, the master, the king, ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. And at this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." And the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. A little bit of perspective. Differing translations will say bags of gold, and some will say talents. Some of you are familiar with the word talents. It's equal, approximately. But for us to understand the magnitude of this cancellation of the debt, I'm going to tell you how much a talent is. A talent is a measure of weight. One talent is close to 130 pounds, which could be used for gold or silver or other precious metals. In this scenario, it is most likely referring to the weight of silver. And one talent is roughly equal to 15 years worth of wages. One talent. And the king in our parable is owed 10,000. If we do the math, that's 150,000 years worth of yearly income. More than 3,000 financial life sentences. The servant had maxed his card out. Massive debt. And what does the king do? He doesn't work out a payment plan with interest. What does he do? Thank you. He cancels it, wipes it out. Let's keep going and see what the servant does. Verse 28, "But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. And he grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and said the same thing, 'Be patient with me. I will pay it all back.' But the servant refuses. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt." So 10,000 bags of gold equals one talent, which is 150,000 years of income. A silver coin can also be translated to denarius, and that is the equivalent of roughly one day's wage. So not a tiny debt. This works out to about 100 days worth of a debt. It's not earth-shattering, though. So we see Jesus using that exaggeration, that hyperbole, to get his point across. Look at this spectrum. More than anybody could ever pay back, and he cancels it. A trifling debt that somebody wants paid back, and he throws the man in prison. We know Jesus loves to talk in hyperbole because he talks about logs and eyes and camels through needles' eyes and mountains diving into the sea, yeah? Why does he do that, though? Because he wants us to get a clear picture of how important it is and to understand in our mind's eye, this is what I'm to do. So what happens next? Verse 31. "When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged. They told their master. And the master calls the servant in, 'You wicked servant. I canceled that debt of yours because you begged me to. So shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' And in his anger, the master hands him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And Jesus says, 'This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart.'" Forgiveness is seeming like also an extravagant thing, yes? Well, what does forgive mean? Interestingly, in my study, the Greek word here in this story for forgive is actually aphiatephe, which means to send forth. The Greeks in this language would have understood it to mean releasing, to send forth. And I'm going to do that not seven times, but 70 times seven or 77 times. Now, quickly, let's go back. We're going to compare verse 30 and verse 34. In verse 30, we see that the servant refuses to cancel the debt, and he goes off and he has the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And then later in verse 34, in his anger, the master, the king, handed him over to the jailers to be tortured. And what is the point here? Point number two, unforgiveness is a prison. It's a prison for you or me, and it's a prison for the other person. The servant put someone in prison because of his unwillingness to cancel the debt, and it resulted in a prison of his own. Bondage for everyone. But let's look at another person in Scripture that had to walk through forgiveness. Now, how many of you are familiar with the story of Joseph? Some of you? Well, I'm going to recap for those of you that don't. Joseph was the second youngest son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. And he was his father's favorite, which didn't go over well with his brothers. So they sold him into slavery, as you do, I suppose. So Joseph travels to Egypt as a slave, and many decades pass. And during this, he is falsely accused. He is thrown into prison. He is given some prophetic gifts from the Lord and he learns how to steward them. And then he is raised to the right hand of the Pharaoh in Egypt. And because of his position of influence and because of those prophetic gifts that he stewarded and practiced and grew, Joseph was able to prepare all of Egypt for a great famine to provide plenty for all who needed it. But the famine reaches his homeland as well. And so wouldn't you know, the brothers travel to Egypt to ask for help, not knowing that Joseph is there. Can you imagine their faces walking into the throne room? Ah! The brother that we sold into slavery. Panic. And can you imagine Joseph recognizing his brothers and there they are in front of him after all these years and all that they did? Well, let's look at what he says. This is Genesis 45, verse 5. Joseph says, "And now do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." He actually tells them not to be angry with themselves. He's so far beyond being angry with them himself. He just says, "Hey, God sent me here. Don't be angry with yourselves." How could he have done that? How could he have said that? Because Joseph saw the bigger picture. It wasn't about him. And despite this, saying this to his brothers later in chapter 50, the brothers still say, verse 15, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" Isn't it hard to forgive ourselves sometimes? I feel that daily. We're so aware of our own failings and the consequences of our choices, even when we have the best of intentions. And then we're afraid of what others will do. And this brings to point three. Forgiveness restores the standard. It restores honor and the standard. Forgiving someone or ourselves restores everyone back to a baseline place of honor. Joseph's brothers were restored to their place of honor as his brothers when he forgave them. And we know that God is a God of restoration. His heart is for restoration and wholeness. That is why he is commanding us to forgive. In our Lord's Prayer, we're memorizing, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. It goes both ways. I'm forgiven, I must also forgive. Because that is how God restores our own souls and spirits and our connections with others. And that is how we build the kingdom and release his spirit by releasing people from that prison of unforgiveness. There is power and there is anointing there. Let's finish this story, verse 18. So Joseph's brothers came. Remember, they're afraid of what Joseph's going to do. So he came. They came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. "Do with us what you will," basically. And Joseph says to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Wow. I don't know if I could say that to or about anybody that sold me into slavery. And I have wrestled with this very, very topic and feel absolutely unqualified to even speak on it because for 40 years, I've been walking through it myself. We all have. We understand the cost and the difficulty. But here's what I believe God wants to say. Even something evil can be good if God touches it. Even something evil can be good if God touches it. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. And further, it's to save lives. Now, I'm going to say a very important side note. Forgiveness does not mean I have to trust the person. It does not mean that. It just means I release them from being punished for the thing. There's a difference, a very important difference between trust and forgiveness, and that is that trust is earned. And forgiveness is not. God's not saying, let people do whatever they want and turn, I mean, he does say turn the other cheek, but it's not about allowing people to harm you. It's just about the reality that that's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. And so we forgive. Now you might be saying, but Joy, what about the person that doesn't even know they hurt me? How dare they be so unaware? And the Lord says, vengeance is mine. Which I'm gonna be honest and say, oh Lord, why are you so slow? Right? Yeah. God is the expert at defending us. God is the expert. And that power and anointing that happens when we genuinely forgive from the heart someone who meant us to do harm, whether they knew it or not, or even ourselves. And what happens is we can release blessing over them. So let's quickly review. One, forgiveness must be, everybody say it. Good. Two, unforgiveness puts us in a? Number three, forgiveness restores. Yes. Simple, right? So how? How do we get there? How? I struggled with this a lot, and the Lord was very clear. And it is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, as a again, a little aside, the context here in Philippians is not necessarily about forgiveness. Paul's receiving money from the church while he's in prison, and he's trying to explain to them that he has learned how to be content in all his circumstances, and God's going to provide whether he has money or not. So that's the context of I can do all things in this particular chapter in Philippians. But I believe the Lord brought this verse to my mind because it's true about a lot of things in life. Anytime we are doing something that God tells us to do, including being able to forgive, I can do hard things. I can do all things through Christ. It's His strength. Second Peter 1, verse 3 backs this up and says, His divine power gives us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. So is God leaving us out here on our own, trying to muddle through and trying to, oh, I need to be able to forgive and it's so hard? No. He has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through His divine Holy Spirit and power, and we can do all things through Christ, even forgive someone. Radical forgiveness, radical kingdom, upside down. Sending the Spirit out into the kingdom and building the kingdom means to be releasing people from their prisons. God wants freedom for you and for others. Again, you are going to pay the price for someone else's choices or sin. That's just life. I'm sorry to say it, in case you didn't know. But that's what Jesus did for me. And that's what Jesus did for you. He canceled the debt. That person that betrayed you can't pay you back. The people that betrayed and hurt me can never repay me for the identity issues I've had to walk through my entire life. The wrestling and the struggle that comes into our lives based on somebody else's actions, that can't be repaid. They don't have the ability to give back what they took. And guess what? That gains interest, doesn't it? It's not just the thing anymore. This is why it's hard. That original hurt or offense doesn't show all the things you had to walk through to get out of it, does it? All the things that you now carry that were never supposed to be yours. It's painful. But remember, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. Even something evil can be good if God touches it. And we can do all things through Christ. We can say, God, here's the debt. I know they can never pay it back or return what they stole, so would you cancel their debt? But God, I do need that debt paid back for me. So would you pay that back to me on their behalf? This radical kingdom is full of repayment and restoration. Amen? Jesus wants to pay the debt on your behalf when you owe it to someone. And He wants to pay the debts that are owed to you. What's that called? Redemption. God redeems. Redemption. And Jesus went to the cross so that there would never be a debt you'd ever have to pay again. And so we can receive the cancellations for our debt. He takes every abuse, every offense, every hurt, every betrayal, and He says, that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. So remember at the beginning when I said, oh, we're going to talk about forgiveness today, and a person's face popped into your mind? Remember that person? Or if nobody popped into your head, we're just going to take a minute and ask the Lord to show you. Give me somebody in my mind. Who do I need to forgive? Who is it, Lord? Who needs to be released from the prison? And Lord, they can't repay this debt owed to me, so would you please cancel it? Would you restore the standard? Once you have that person's mind, face in your mind, and you've asked God to show you, and you've asked for his help to help you forgive, there's a very important activation step, and that is to pray blessing. This is a tough one, but I believe the Lord will help you. He's going to help us this morning. Lord, give us the capacity to genuinely release blessing over those that have hurt us. This person that I'm supposed to forgive, Lord, give me something specific that you have for them and help me pray over it. Pray it over them. Help me to release myself and them from this prison. And God's going to give you the words to say. And you don't have to say it to their face. It's not as scary as all that. You can just release blessing. And the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be released into the world. And maybe the person that you're thinking of right now that God is highlighting to you is yourself. And maybe God is speaking truth to you and blessing you right now. Just receive. Let him cancel that debt as well. I just want to remind you as we close the service today that the prayer team is going to be around the room. If God has spoken to you this morning, or if he's wanting to heal you, like we prayed before, or maybe there's just help you need to forgive someone or yourself, we would love to pray over you. We would love to stand with you and help you release freedom. God wants you to be free, and he wants you to love and forgive without limit. Jesus, thank you that you went to the cross and paid all debts. Jesus, you paid it all so we don't have to. Lord, help us when it's hard. Help us when it's hard. Send us your spirit to help us, your divine power that gives us everything we need for life and godliness, for this hard thing you're asking me to do, Jesus. I can't do it on my own. So Jesus, would you do it? And I believe the Holy Spirit is breaking chains this morning. Chains in our minds. Or even those hearts of stone that are sometimes really difficult to crack open. You can do hard things. Jesus will meet you there and walk with you every step of the way. And there is so much love and blessing and restoration and power and anointing on every single one of you this morning in Jesus' name. And so I just bless you as you go from here.